Okay, so as you know, I went to D.C., actually Arlington, Virginia, which is right next to D.C., so I didn't have to go into the belly of the beast. We had a great conference, and one of my roommates was an atheist. We got onto the topic because we were talking about some senator being a Christian, and he hadn't married or had children, and he made the remark, "I'm an atheist, and I want children." And so provided an opportunity for me to ask him why he was an atheist. So I asked, "Why are you an atheist?" And he said, "Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Catholic Mass." He sounded very cynical about that in his past, and I was right there with him. I said, that's exactly how I felt. I was an agnostic at one point. I told him this. And when he first told me he was atheist, I was just kind of, he has not been enlightened yet. So it was interesting because I remember when I was agnostic, I was very narrow-minded, very close-minded, and just knowing that where he is right now. And it would have been inconsiderate of me not to share with him my testimony. So I felt very convicted at that point, just led to share with him. And he was very receptive. He was listening. He was all ears. And I told him about how I made the God made the transition of me from agnostic to Christian, how I was converted. I gave him a very short testimony, and I didn't give him evidence for the existence of God. He is an atheist, so atheists think that they need physical evidence for them to believe in God. But even if you give that to them, they still won't believe. It's a heart issue. So what I was telling him was the surrender of my heart to the Lord, and something that was very personal to me that he couldn't deny. And so when I was finished telling him my testimony of how I became a Christian, he sat there silent for the rest of the night. And it was really interesting. I think the Spirit was working on him, and I got his contact information. I said I would follow up with him. So his name is Corey, if you would pray for him. His last name is Rusko, R-U-S-K-O. Very, very interesting guy. And I'm glad that I got to meet him and have that opportunity. I also witnessed to a hotel lady that was working there, and her name was Elizabeth. She was from South America, so her English wasn't that great. But we were able to communicate, and I asked her if she believed in Jesus Christ, and she said she did. And so I was very happy to hear that. She seemed really emotional and very glad to be talking to me, and I asked her if there was something I could pray for her about. And she said she was very sick, and she had health issues, and so it was a good opportunity. So I will say that walking in the city, I did my own exploring, and people don't look you in the eyes. I'll walk by somebody and I'll smile, and they're not looking back at you. Mm. And it seemed like a very spiritually dead place, and it kind of scared me a little bit, and really got my heart into it, and I really felt love for these people, and I felt compassion. I know that comes from God. So it's a very spiritually dead place. So if I do go up there, if I do get an opportunity, I'm going to need all of God's strength to be a witness up there.
Amen. Amen. That from someone who, by his own testimony, as you just heard, had gone through one of the better Christian schools I've seen, and then came out of that and became matriculated at the University of Georgia as a complete agnostic. It's astonishing, isn't it, when you think about it? And yet God, in His great mercy and His great love, reached down and guided him. And Carl is working on a testimony of how God did that we, Matt and I, have been talking to him about it for a little while. We're going to let you know when that's going to happen here in the church, so that if you have someone it might help, you'll be able to bring them in here. We're getting pretty close on that, we think. That's kind of the way that is, and getting very close, so we'll tell you about that. Well, anyway, I thought that was fascinating. God, you ask God for opportunities, and He sends you somebody who is a real needy person. So there you go. Well, thank the Lord for that. Also, in that prayer meeting, we were praying for Brother Felix Villaverde's aunt. And she was very sick, dying, in fact, almost dead. And we prayed for her on a spiritual level, first of all. And you guys remember this, pray for her on a spiritual level, and then also on a physical level, that she would live long enough to settle that out. And Brother Felix, would you mind coming on up and telling them the rest of that story, please, please, sir?
All right. Well, that was was sharing with Pastor Miles back on, I believe it was 26th of June, I got a chance to visit Cuba and spent about 5 days there. I took Ben with me, and it was a very quick trip. Had a chance to speak a little bit to my aunt, but just didn't really, have the opportunity to kind of, get in real depth with a conversation. So when I got back, I shared that with Pastor Miles and, some of y'all. And we actually started praying for her back when I got back, and was emailing my cousin back and forth. Now, my cousin is the head of surgery for an entire province in Cuba, which is like a state. Like, he would be like the head of surgery for the entire state of Georgia. So he's been in the medical field for over 35 years. So he has her on, all the medication that she needs. As he saw her continually get worse, he's got oxygen and things like that. She's on insulin and all of these things. So he's seeing, from a scientific standpoint, her progression basically into just about dying. So you can kind of see what he's telling me is, all these things. So I said, hey, there's a neighbor across the street, which in one of my trips to Cuba, I found out that she was saved. She was attending the Baptist church locally there. So, and then I have another aunt, which I found out, and not this past trip, but the trip before, that was also a believer. So I said, hey, have they come and visit her and talked with her? And he says, yes, they've come by. They've talked to her about the Lord. They're praying for her. And then the next day, he says, neighbor across the street went and got the pastor from the local church. They came and prayed over her. At this point, she was on oxygen, wasn't really able to talk, wasn't eating. And she prayed to receive the Lord. This is what he's emailing me. About that afternoon, late afternoon, he sends me another email. And he says, she's off the oxygen and eating. And then I'm like, oh, great, praise the Lord. And I said, we've been praying for her. And then he said that the pastor of the church asked if he could continue to come back and visit, in which he said, they've told him, yes, please continue to come back. I got several emails this week or latter part this weekend, which basically he's saying, in my 35 years in the medical field, I've never seen anything like this. And then I got a chance to talk to him yesterday, and I said, this doesn't have a scientific explanation. And I said, this is the Lord showing himself through our family. As you guys know, I've been praying for my family for a long time. This is my aunt that was my mom's twin sister. And my mom passed away in 2001, and we prayed for my mom continuously while we were here. She was saved about 2 weeks before she died. I got a chance to lead her to the Lord over the phone, and I think I shared that with one of my trips that I came back with you guys, a while back. So, I really believe that the Lord is doing something in my family. Now, I'm going to share something with you that shows the power of God. Because at times, over the last 5 to 6 years, I've almost just about just gave up on, just on my continual prayer for family members, specifically, them there in Cuba, because that whole family is very close to me and my two sisters, because both of the moms, were twins. So I've, even with my dad, I've just started getting to the point where, Lord, doesn't look like you're going to do a whole lot with this situation. And, I really wasn't expecting this. It was almost like, well, she's about to die. We've had several people share Christ with her, but just really wasn't fervent about the situation. And the Lord has taught me a huge lesson. And so I'm just so thankful that, we got a chance to be here at Crooked Creek, pray for them specifically, the way that this church prays for people, and I'm just so thankful, and I really appreciate all your prayers.
Amen. I really believe the Lord arranged all this with these two testimonies in one night here for a reason. I've watched as God has stirred up the hearts of our people for prayer over the last several years. We did not pray like you see now some years ago. You knew that. You were here, and you know that wasn't going on. And God has done that. He's stirred our people up. He's given us the burden of prayer. And I think He is beginning to give us the vision of what He could do through prayer. I want to ask you something. Could not God, the same God who did these things that we've talked about and did the other amazing answers to prayer that we've seen, could not God raise up an army of mighty men and mighty women like David had an army of mighty men? Men who could skill to use either hand in warfare. Could we not have men who could pray and bombard heaven? Could we not have ladies who caused the forces of evil to tremble every time they got on their knees? What would be wrong with that? I mean, what would be wrong with having that as a vision for the church here? I'm just going to pray. As of right now, I'm going to begin to pray. There were about 30 of those mighty men. I'm going to pray that God will raise up in this church 30 men who will commit themselves to prayer and really learn how to pray, learn the principles of prayer, and really begin to do it and bounce their prayers off heaven every day. Wouldn't that be a grand thing if we could come to this church service in any given service, and say, okay, what has God done? And people would begin to pop up all over the place. Why not? I mean, why not? Is there a limit? I mean, is it like going to the store when they have a sale and they say limit two? Is there a limit on it? I don't think so. I think God is ready and eager and anxious.